Connie.
Good morning. How are you, Connie?
Good morning. Doing better.
It's been a few weeks since I've spoken to you. I had a reminder to myself on Friday. I got up, thought to call you, but I didn't follow through, so I apologize.
Well, sometime when you have time, I want to talk to you about my last trip to Israel, too.
Okay. Bezrat Hashem, I'll give you a call either later today or on Monday.
Okay. Monday's probably good in the afternoon.
Very good. The problem is your afternoon and my dinner time, so.
Oh, that's
but we'll
true.
Catch up.
Yeah, I have physical therapy until noon. Yeah.
I do understand. I'm going to start. Right now, you're the only one on, but by the time we finish, I'm sure there will be.
Hello, this is Jamie.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Yedula Shemin Chana Tati. Sehra. Alpakino Yutak Sadi. Kabel Rina Amha Sadenu Taparenu Nora Ufreshayan Sentet Nun Nagibor Doshe Yehudan Yevavat Shalem Nun Gimel Dalet Yitzav Shin Barhen Tachare Rahame Sitata Tami Gam Lem Petet Reish Sadidach Gimel. The letters of the month of Av, the Kaf that created the planet we call the Sun, and the Tet that created the constellation Arya, the lion. Chasim Kadosh, Ero Diva, Nae Adata, Hetkufet, Tetunayim, Yachid Gea. Lamcha penei zokei kiddushatah Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Pi Shavateinu Kabel Ushma Kriyat Atenu Yodeya Talumot Shem Tufat Tzadi Yitzah. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We'll now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rahum Dehanun, Er Apayim, The rocket is the emet. No chesed la lafi. No kiawon la fesha. The chata'a v'nakein. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parasha Yitro. It's Pasuk 29, and I'll start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Kud Shabarichu, Ishkim Dei, Bidi Bilu, Urhimud, Hilud, Hilu, Urhimu. Leah, Dalishem, Yud, He, Bavav, He. The Yehuda, Shalim, Bishem, Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. La Sok Torah Mitzvah. Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konanei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konaneihu. Labia Abba Amar Deka Amatar Tanei Nam Dekucha Urihu Koma Deaved Leela Witata Kolaihu Kishok Deovada Dikshot Leilach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Vedach Yaleya Meneya Ulan Haga Eya Kalana Dehakuru Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola Itzirif Bialma. The energy of the year 5778 is to bow to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses from the Tanakh that connect to this energy. The first is from 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6, and that's the first verse we will study. Vayishkav Amnon, Vayitchal Vayavo, Amelech Liroto, Vayomer Amnon, El Hamelech Tavo, Na Tamar, Achoti Yehud Labev, Ve'enei Chetev Vivot, Ve'evrem Miyadah. The second verse is from Psalms. It's chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Chet. The letters of this name are separated by three letters each. Chatati Odiacha, Wawoni Lokisiti. Amarti Odeh Aleph Shai Ladonai Yohe Wahe Weata Nasata Awon Chatati Sela. The year 5777, the year of the goats, the year of the wake-up, also has two verses that connect to its energy. The first that we will study is from Lamentations. It's chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. The first letters of these words can be parsed into Tzatzki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. The final letters of these words can be parsed into Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to this energy is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. The letters of this name are separated by seven letters each. Kim Vadonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadivaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776 also has two verses that connect to its energy of the pause. first verse that we study for this energy is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu halimat v'lo yachlu lehavshit et kol ha'olot v'yehaskum achechem ha'levim ad kelot hamlacha v'yad yitkachu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me'ha'kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of each word, we're able to permute them into 8 names of God. Adonai Yohewahe, Lalahe, Wawawa, Yolayo Alame, Hehehe, Aka'a, Prekacha. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4 is the second verse that connects to this energy of the pause. Idhu Adonai Yohewahe Ade Ad Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tsurolami. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are 3 verses that connect to this energy from the Tanakh. The first is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni, lo tarpeni ad biliruki. First Samuel chapter 23, verse 23 also connects to this energy of swallowing death forever. Uru, uru, mikol hamachavoyam, asher yitchabe sham ushavtem, elai el nahum, v'halachti yaitchem, v'chayayin yeshno. Barets v'chipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. The third verse that connects to this energy is from Job also. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kigel olametzach yobeid ro'av yomru ayom. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. V'samti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakam. Ta'akta v'lo yirgaz, od v'lo yosifu. V'ne avla la'anoto, ka'asher barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God. We do this by stating the letter name, the letter sound, with the root vowel in sequence. Wahe wa yo la yo sa yo te ala me me he shi la la he aka a ta he ta he za yo ala da la a wa he he a. Yo Muta he he a a yo re ta shi a he re o yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re he yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa a la a re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he be wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me sa re yo wa me be yo he he anu wa me he yo ta me be me nu ko a yo a he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. The 72 names from the Sabikin, utilizing the same technique. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu wa ka me ta he se yo anu da la he wa he me a yo cha la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo he yo me no he 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 wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo wa wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ta a ko me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la re yo a la me ta he wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo nu ko me yo re la he be he me za re wa he be yo a he a la wa me za le yo da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Sadikim who left this day, the third day of Av, which started last night and includes this day of Sunday, Rabbi Shimon or Shimson ben Rabbi Pesach Ostropilier, Rabbi Gedalia Aaron Rabinowitz of Manastrich, Rabbi David Shapira, Rabbi Chaim Yeheskel Taub of Ozoro, Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Yehoshua Heschel Lahalevi Horowitz, and Rabbi Moshe Sutrin. There are additional tzaddikim that left starting at sundown tonight and tomorrow Monday, the fourth day of Av. Menachem, Rabbi Menachem Azaria ben Yitzhak Brechia, Rabbi Tzvi Meir HaKohen Rabinowitz, Rabbi Ephraim Taub of Kuzmir, Rabbi Benzion Halberstam, Rabbi Raphael of Morocco, and the eighth verse of the Anabakoach we say in a whisper. Today's class will be continuing our preparation for the holiday of Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av. You can find the handout on the Unique Astrological Times link. It will be almost to the bottom of the page, where it will maybe a half a inch from the bottom of the page on your computers. Where it says Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av. The first link under that is a link to the writings of the Ari. And we're going to study his writings regarding Tisha B'Av. So when the link opens up to a page titled Who is the Ari, scroll down until you see the section, the writings from the Ari on various holidays. Right now, the first one under that is Tisha B'Av. We will be studying first the second one that says redeeming the widow. And then the third one, or the second one we may have time to study, is the first one, which is the Ari fixing the mixing. Starting with redeeming the widow in exile. In every generation, a spark of the Mashiach comes into the world. Tamar was Judah's daughter-in-law, married to his son Er. Er did not want pregnancy to damage Tamar's beauty. So he withdrew before completing intercourse and wasted his seed on the ground. After Hashem punished Er for this by killing him, Judah had his second son, Onan, marry Tamar in order to perpetuate Er's name, fulfilling the mitzvah of the Levirate marriage. Onan, knowing that the child of their union would not be considered his, also withdrew before completing intercourse, and Hashem punished him also by killing him. Judah evidently did not know why his sons had died. He had a third son, Shelah, but hesitated to have him marry Tamar because he was afraid she was somehow the cause of her husband's death, and that Shelah would meet the fate of his two older brothers. He therefore gave her an excuse for not having Shelah marry her. So Judah said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, "Wait as a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up, for he feared lest he also die as his brothers did." So Tamar went to live in her father's house. I am adding, according to the Midrash, Tamar lives in Jerusalem with her father, Malkitzedek, which is an alias for Shem, the son of Noah, who was the high priest of the world. He was the high priest, or the Kohen Gadol, until he appointed Abraham to replace him. This can be found in the Torah, in the story of Abraham's meeting with Malkitzedek. So Judah said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, "Tamar is an allusion to the Shekhinah, who accompanies us in exile after Hashem killed all of the evil generations among us, who are alluded to by Er and Onan." I am adding, Er, spelled in Hebrew, is the same letters as Ra, which translates as evil. Onan in Hebrew has a meaning of and is translated as wasting seed. This is a biblical teaching that relates to masturbation. Some of the Jewish people who lived before the destruction of the temple were guilty of very heinous sins. The sages state that the first temple was destroyed because of the sins of idolatry, murder, and adultery, while the second temple was destroyed because of the sins of baseless hatred and despising Torah study. Even though Hashem exiled the Jewish people, His divine presence accompanies us, always available to us. These wicked people were eliminated in the destructions. The people remaining were not guilty of these sins, and whatever sins they committed could be atoned for and rectified by the process of exile. Even though Hashem exiled the Jewish people, His divine presence, the Shekhinah, accompanies us, always available to us. Wait as a widow. This image also applies to the Shekhinah, as it is written, "Oh, how the populous city now dwells alone. The greatest among the nations has become like a widow." The Shekhinah has to be like a widow during the exile. This is the opening of the Book of Lamentations. The prophet Jeremiah's dirge, lamenting the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the seat of the temple, was seen as the Shekhinah incarnate. Exile is compared to widowhood. Since in exile, the Shekhinah, the wife in this allegory, must exist without her husband, Hashem. The Shekhinah, the Sefirah of Malchut of Atzilut, descends into the lower worlds in order to sustain them and is prevented from rejoining with Zeranpin of Atzilut to renew her inspiration. In your father's house, this refers to the Holy One, blessed be He. And wait until my son Shelah grows up, implying that he is still young. This means that she should wait until Shelah is filled with the letter Yud, indicating the supernal life. This state is alluded to in the verse, "Behold, I have made you small amongst the nations. You are very despised." Shelah refers to the Jewish people in exile. Thus, Shelah refers to the Jewish people in exile. The Shekhinah is destined to mate when Shelah attains his mature form. Shiloh, which is Shelah, and Shiloh are spelled exactly the same, except the Shiloh possesses an additional yud. Shelah is spelled Shin Lamed He. Shiloh is spelled Shin Yud Lamed He. Shiloh remains in exile until Shiloh will come, filled with the Yud. This refers to the Mashiach who will possess the soul of Moses. On his deathbed, Jacob prophesied, "The scepter of rulership shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from amongst his descendants, until Shiloh is come, unto whom the nations shall gather." Shiloh in this verse is an appellation of the Mashiach. The Shiloh here is the Jewish people, whose consummate leader and representative is the Mashiach. The sages state that Moses is the first and the last redeemer. This means that his soul will in some way be present in the Mashiach. I am adding, recently there is a movement among some Kabbalistic student rabbis and teachers to teach a concept of Mashiach using the term the Mashiach process. The essence of the teaching is that there are many prominent people who are tasked by Hashem to fulfill part of the Mashiach prophecies. Thus, all of these individuals will in total manifest the Mashiach prophecies. One of these teachers is explaining that there are four Mashiachs: a Mashiach for Edom, one for Islam, Mashiach ben Yosef, which is also Mashiach ben Ephraim, representing the lost tribes, and finally Mashiach ben David, who is a reincarnation of the spark of the soul of Moshe. The reason why Hashem decreed that the Shekhinah should be like a widow is because he feared lest he die as did his brothers. Therefore, she would have to remain a widow without a husband until the Mashiach comes, until Shelah grows up. I didn't mention this in writing, and I didn't mention it at the time a few paragraphs above. But the gematria of Shiloh, Shin Lamed He, is 335. When we add the Yud to make it Shiloh, it is 345, which is the gematria of Moshe. So we see how Moshe and Shiloh in the prophecies are one and the same. And we learned above that the Mashiach and Moshe are also one and the same. Continuing to read. In exile, the children of Israel could be rectified gradually and safely. If the Shekhinah would wed the Jewish people and thus not be in exile, and they would be found unworthy of the union, they would have to die as did their brethren when the temple stood. Therefore, Hashem preferred that the Shekhinah remain in exile. When living in the temple's presence, the standards of behavior are higher. Sinning is more sinful, more of an affront to the open manifestation of divinity. In exile, the Jews could be rectified gradually and safely. Because he feared lest he die as did his brothers. This is because in every generation, a spark of the Mashiach comes into the world in accordance with Hashem's will. If the generation is worthy, he is revealed as the Mashiach. If not, he dies or is killed as a martyr, as happened to Rabbi Akiva in the time of the Ben Koziba, the Bar Kokhba, and in many other cases we do not even know about all through the centuries. Rabbi Akiva was killed as a martyr in the Hadrianic persecutions that came as a reaction to the revolt of the Bar Kokhba, whom the sages called pejoratively Ben Koziba, the deceiving one, as a non-written comment. Rabbi Akiva was deceived by Bar Kokhba because Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kokhba was the Mashiach. All through history, even with the time of Rabbi Akiva, the personality of Rabbi Akiva, there's always been this premonition that Mashiach is here now. And Mashiach has always been here in every generation, but the generations have not been ready. And this is still true today. Continuing to read. But come he must in every generation, either to redeem Israel, if they are worthy, or to purify the generation, or to teach them the Torah, if the generation is ignorant. This is why Jacob said, lest he also die, referring to the one spark of the Mashiach that comes in every generation. Do not marry him, he said, until he matures. He will then come to redeem Israel by the will of Hashem. The remainder of this excerpt describes how, in the case of the prophet Habakkuk, we see how that God said that the time must be ripe for the redemption to occur. The vision is still for an appointed time, and it speaks concerning the end, and does not lie. We also see in the case of Habakkuk, who according to some opinions was the spark of the Mashiach in his generation, he said, I will stand on my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And God answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets so that he who reads it may run, for the vision is still for the appointed time. And it speaks concerning the end, and does not lie. Though it seems slow in coming, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not come late. This seems self-contradictory. If Hashem told him, write the vision and make it plain upon the tablets, so that he who reads it may run through it, meaning so that whoever reads it will understand it immediately, it is obvious that he will write it plainly and clearly. But then after Hashem tells him what to write, he says that the matter is cryptic and that the vision is still for an appointed time, and it speaks concerning the end and does not lie. Though it seems slow, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not come late, without saying when. This statement adds nothing to what we have been believing for every generation, that even if the Mashiach tarries, we still await him, for he will surely come. The explanation, however, is as follows. It is written in the book of Daniel, now I have come to make you to understand what shall befall your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. This verse follows the account of how Daniel witnessed frightening and incomprehensible allegories. Thus, whenever the term vision is used, it refers to an allegory. I am adding, in a few weeks, actually next Shabbat, the Haftorah we read will use the word for vision. When hearing this Haftorah, remember the above comment about vision is an allegory. Therefore, when Hashem told Habakkuk, write the vision, he was referring to an allegory, which is by nature a riddle. The expression, and make it plain on tablets, simply means that Habakkuk should write it down clearly. Not that it should be understood, for it is so obscure that the reader will run through it, not pondering its meaning, since its meaning is so obscure. Now, this next section called Meditations for Troubled Times, we studied last Sunday. So if you want to learn that, you can do so on the recordings webpage, which you can find on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. I believe it's the last row, row 19, the third column from the left. It says that it's a link to all of the recordings. So please feel free to follow up with that. But we do have time to finish the second. If you go back to who is Rabbi Isaac Luria, who is the Ari, if you go to the second link under Tisha B'Av, the first link under Tisha B'Av, we will finish studying the fixing the mixing. Kabbalah expounds the mystical background of the golden calf. In order to understand the incident of the golden calf, we must understand what was the intention of the mixed multitude in making this calf at this point. As the sages note, and I am adding, from the Zohar and the Talmud, it was the mixed multitude of non-Jews that accompanied the Jews in their exodus from Egypt who instigated the idolatry of the golden calf. I have already informed you in my comments on the verse, and there arose a new king over Egypt, which is in Exodus, the first chapter, about the idea of the mixed multitude, in particular how they were derived from the impurities and pollution of the soul of Moses, whose soul was derived from the dot of Zeranpin itself, which is in turn derived from the mentality of Abba. Moses' soul was derived from dot, which means that he was an expression of the idea of taking the intellectual idea and translating it into personal relevance, producing emotional responses and practical expression. The fact that dot is informed by the mentality of Abba means that it is the new revolutionary initial divine insight that seeks to be made relevant and change reality. But any initial insight appears in consciousness together with an admixture of impurity in the form of illusions and deceptions, which have to be clarified out of the raw material of the insight via the process of bina, of understanding. Moses' error was in not recognizing these aberrations in the insight granted him for what they were, thinking that they could be incorporated and elevated into the picture. In material reality, this was expressed as his inclusion of the mixed multitude in the Exodus. I am adding, the above two paragraphs of commentary by the translators do not make sense to me. This does not mean that they are wrong, only that I do not yet understand the meaning and the words being used. Laban the Aramean was incorporated, reincarnated as Bilam. Elsewhere, the Arizal explains that the mixed multitude was indeed meant to be elevated eventually, but Moses tried to do this prematurely. This is evidently a classic example of the Baal Shem Tov's teaching that every process of spiritual growth must proceed through three stages of submission: of the ego, in order to gain new insight; separation, of good and evil, in order to refine and purify the insight; and sweetening of the impure elements of the insight with the power generated by the pure, refined insight. Moses was trying to skip the middle stage of this process. This is an unwritten, let me add this and see if what I've written also includes what I want to say. This three-step teaching is being used by modern Kabbalists to integrate many teachings from other spiritual paths back into kosher Orthodox Judaism. In my opinion, that is premature also. It will depend on the physical manifestation of Mashiach, which will happen after the Mashiach consciousness manifests. This process has three steps. Submission, step one. Separation, step two. Sweetening, step three. When we separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, as we do with the creations of, with the singing of the Anabakoa, the Anabakoa is the submission. The separation is what we do with the 13 attributes. And the sweetening has not yet happened, or the Mashiach would be here. In the past few weeks, I put it in the Consciousness Builder in the weekly email, a discussion about yoga and whether it's kosher or it can be kosher. Without the submission, without the separation, and without the sweetening, yoga's root is from an idol. And that root remains until those three steps have been followed. If you are following the various yoga instructors, if they know these three steps, if it has been done with the blessing of a student, or at least the student of Kabbalah, I leave that choice to yourself. And as one of my students has recently told me, there is a movement, in addition to the Magna Grav, there is another movement coming out of Israel having to do with exercise only, without the martial arts aspect of Magna Grav, So there are a lot of movements, a lot of things happening with these three steps of the submission, the separation, and the sweetening. Continuing to read. Nonetheless, they will still contain an admixture of sparks of holiness, and this is why Moses exerted all his energy to gather the mixed multitude under the wings of the divine presence, that is, to convert them to Judaism. We find a similar phenomenon with Balaam, about whom our sages said, when the Torah says, and there arose no prophet in Israel like Moses, it implies that no such prophet arose in Israel, but among the other nations of the world, one did arise, namely Balaam. Balaam was thus somehow a fallen version of Moses. I am adding, my understanding is very different than the translator's comments. Balaam is not a fallen spark of Moshe. Moshe and Balaam are repositories for all souls with affinity to their souls, according to the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, as recorded in our teachings from the book, You Are You Who You Hate. All people will eventually grow spiritually to be children of Israel and connect to the repository within the soul of Moshe. Obviously, when that happens, Moshe will become Adam, HaRishon. The meaning of the fallen spark may also be the human souls that have connected to the negative system, since all souls will be connected to Moshe. This is an unwritten commentary. In essence, Moshe and Balaam together compose the soul of Adam. Continuing to read. I have also informed you in my comments on the verse, and Rachel stole her father's teraphim, that Laban the Aramean was reincarnated as Balaam's son, Beor. For Beor was Laban's son and Balaam's father. This whole family was derived from the one common source we have mentioned. They were all impurities from the soul of Moses. This includes Laban, Beor, Balaam, and Balaam's two sons, Yunus and Yumbrus, that are mentioned in the Zohar. Therefore, they were all great magicians and sorcerers without equal anywhere in the world. If Moses embodied the power to take divine insight and make it relevant, we may assume that magic is a perversion of this power. Magic is the combining of disparate forces in nature that appear at first unconnected and unrelated, and harnessing them to produce results. This is possible only if the one attempting to manipulate these powers possesses some inkling of the fact that everything is indeed related somehow, and then can therefore be connected. Magic simply takes the insight of unity and ignores the divine essence. The idea that everything is connected is derived in its source from the divine insight that God created everything and sustains everything. And thus everything in the world is an expression of his power and is meant to express his presence. So the perversion of magic simply takes the insight of unity and ignores the divine essence of this unity. I am adding, while the above paragraph may be true, the divine essence needs to be included, even in the utilization of some aspects of the spiritual system. The major essence of magic is the desire to receive for oneself alone, and this consciousness is what's held by the practitioners of magic. Thus, these souls who were derived from the admixture of impurity in Moses' soul possess something of his insight into the unity of creation, but either ignored or could not divine the divinity underlying this unity. They therefore possessed great magical powers. Now, I have already informed you in the Gate of Reincarnations as well as in my discussion of the mitzvah of the grace after meals, how souls transmigrate progressively through the four kingdoms, from mineral to vegetable to animal and human. I told you that there is a fixed time for their incarnation into each of these levels, after which they ascend to the next level. Now, the time fixed for being incarnated into the vegetable kingdom is the first 4 months of the year, which is Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, and Tammuz. After this, the reincarnated souls ascend to the incarnated to be incarnated into animals. So if there is a soul in a rock, it can only become reincarnated into a plant in the months of Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, and Tammuz. Now, Beor, the father of Bilam, was reincarnated into the vegetable kingdom, but he was not able to proceed in his rectification by ascending into the animal kingdom because he was so polluted by evil. He was undoubtedly the highest aspect of the impurities in this soul root, so therefore his grandsons, Eunice and Yumrus, who were the leaders of the mixed multitude, as is known from the Zohar, as well as the mixed multitude themselves, all wanted him to be rectified, for his elevation would mean an elevation for them. Through this, they would be able to extricate the soul of their grandfather, Beor, from the vegetable kingdom. So they examined and understood through their magic that the only way it would be possible for him to ascend from there would be if they made the Israelites sin. Through this, the forces of evil would be strengthened, and they would be able to extricate the soul of their grandfather, Beor, from the vegetable kingdom. To the sin of the Israelites would be added the fact that the sin would occur through Aaron, the high priest, the Holy One of Hashem. The evil generated by a sin is greater the holier the sinner. For the holier the person, the more divine power he embodies. Added to this would also be the fact that they possess the same golden plate inscribed with the words, "Ascend, O Ox." In Moses' farewell blessing to the Jewish people, he describes Joseph as an ox, the most eminent. His is the power of the ox that is given to him. In Jacob's blessing to Joseph, the same word for ox appears, although in a different meaning, that of a wall. A fruitful son is Joseph, a fruitful son above the evil eye. Daughters tread over the wall to gaze on him. The words for over the wall in Hebrew are alei shur, which if slightly revocalized can be read alei shur, ascend, O ox. The sages tell us that when Joseph died, his coffin was placed in the Nile River. When the Jews left Egypt many years later, Moses stood at the edge of the Nile and cast into it a golden plate inscribed with the words, "Ascend, O ox," and Joseph's coffin rose to the surface. In this way, Moses was able to fulfill Joseph's wish to have his bones removed from Egypt and buried in the land of Israel. Obviously, this golden plate possessed great power. By eating this grass, the limbs of the calf became animated one by one. Thus, they devised to make the golden calf, which is also called an ox, with the powerful magic tools in their mouths, which upset the order of the supernal realms. All the powers we mentioned combined together, that of the evil generated by the Jews' sin, that of the magic powers they possessed, that of the holiness of Aaron's, and that of the holy name etched into the golden plate that was used to elevate Joseph from the Nile. This combination produced the golden calf, which was animated by the spiritual life force of their grandfather, Beor. Beor thus ascended from the vegetable to the animal kingdom, and the mixed multitude accepted him as their leader, who would inform them of the future and tell them whatever they would need to know. And all this was possible by the fact that they made the Israelites sin, as we mentioned. The soul of the wicked Beor, which was present in this calf, was who yelled out, saying, "This is your God, O Israel," as our sages have stated. This is also the inner meaning of our sages' statement, that they fed the golden calf grass, as it is written. They made a calf at Horeb and bowed down to the molten image. They made their glory bitter, in the form of an ox eating grass. To explain, since Beor was incarnated in the vegetable kingdom as grass, the golden calf ate this grass in order to extricate the Beor's soul that was incarnated there. By eating this grass, the limbs of the calf became animated one by one, and Beor's soul thus ascended from the vegetable to the animal kingdom. They accomplished all this through the power of their magic, and this is why they made the golden calf in the month of Tammuz, for that is the last month of the time of the reincarnation ascending from the vegetable kingdom into the level of animals. This is an unwritten commentary, but why is the sin of the golden calf so important to, with respect to Tisha B'Av, the holiday of the coming of Mashiach, the holiday of the destruction of the temple? If you reread this, with this question in your mind, after contemplation, you will have your answer. Does anyone have any questions? At 3 o'clock West Coast time this afternoon, we will have a class in advanced reincarnation. Tomorrow at 4:30, we will have a deep Zohar class on the last section of the Parasha of Noah, section 44. At 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, we will study the writings of the Ari, which will be a long night study. It will continue. It will start at 7 p.m., and it will continue, perhaps until dawn, perhaps not quite that long. I hope you have a wonderful week. Remember, next Shabbat is the 9th of Av, but the celebration, the fast, the connection is on starting sundown after the Sabbath, Saturday night. And the fast is then the 25 hours from sundown Shabbat until sundown Sunday. Shalom to all. I hope you all have a beautiful week. Shavua Tov.
Shalom.
Shalom Gadol to all. Shalom to all. Shalom to all.
Shavua Tov. Thank you.
Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Of them.